And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, well, gang, it's time to venture into unknown and undiscussed territories. We're going to talk about exorcism. The first thing that we're going to do is identify how demons can or cannot affect us as Christians. You're going to find out there's more than one way that they can create problems for us. So keep in mind, it's spiritual warfare. And as the old saying goes, all is fair in love and war. We don't really care what the rules are. They don't really care what the rules are from our perspective. The only rules they have to obey are God's rules. And with that in mind, we're going to venture in, which is a nice way of saying they don't care what you think, but they do care what God says. There are three key component areas where spiritual warfare comes to play for the Christian. We'll discuss these three different categories. But. Please be aware of two very important principles as we get involved. Number one, there is not a demon hiding behind every single rock. Not every time you have a bad meal or every time somebody drives lousy is that a demon influencing them. Number two is the exact opposite. Assuming there's no demonic activity is equally ignorant and unbiblical. And finally, as you can imagine, many of these applications are going on in the framework of Scripture that people try to conclude with their immovable theologies. Let's not get caught up in those things as opposed to getting caught up in the reality that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, as specifically stated in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And while we're still here, Jesus commanded us to follow his mission.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Now, talking to Dynamite D is like talking to the guy that's a great compliment for the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, wow, Dave.
There you go.
The best one.
It's the nicest compliment I can ever give you. That's the last nice comment I'm ever... No, I'm kidding. All right. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got something you want to share, something on your heart and mind. Cool. It's not a kvetch fest, which means you're not just calling up to complain. But there's other things that are involved. Maybe the Lord has done something magnificent in your life and you want to participate and connect to that, and you just want to share that because the Bible says let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you just need other people's faith to combine with your faith. So if your faith and my faith and Dee's faith and the audience's faith and everybody's faith is about worth a quarter, we take all those quarters and put them together, and then we have several dollars of faith that we can use. Pretty much a simple principle. The more faith, the better the situation. Maybe you've just got something that's on your heart and you just want to share it. Maybe you've got an answer to this trivia question. It's not the easiest question, but it is a good question. Here you go. I'll give you a 50-50 opportunity here. True or false? That's a nice way to do that. True or false? Hezekiah is mentioned by name in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hezekiah is mentioned by name in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Wow. If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in at 972-445-0770. I should probably give you all 10 digits, huh? That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483, as well as you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question is Hezekiah mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11? And if you think you have an answer and it's going to be like on the true, make sure you have an address. Okay.
What do you mean an address? Where is it?
All right, somebody's calling in. We do want to give them a chance to call in. That's part of our show. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Tim.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name's Tim.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Yeah, Tim, as in Timothy.
Tim, oh, Tim. Name. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brother. That's my fault, okay? That's what happens when you get post-60 and you wear headsets all the time.
Yeah.
What's going on, Tim? What's happening?
When I first heard you on 770, I said, this guy's kind of goofy, and then you just kind of grown on me, man.
Like a fun guy, right?
Yeah. But anyway, I appreciate your ministry. You are Jewish, right?
Correct. Born and raised Jewish, and then I became a Christian with a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well, God bless you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that very much.
I appreciate you.
Thank you,
hey,
bro.
Hey, David, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Will you pray for me and my fiance? We both have COVID.
Okay, you got it. Let's pray right now. Can we do it?
Thank you, bud.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and nobody, no disease, no issue in our lives is greater than you are, Lord. Your power is the greatest of all. You have all power. In fact, your word teaches specifically all power is yours. And we ask you to manifest that power in Tim and his fiance's life. They're struggling with COVID. It is not good. It is not fun. And we're asking you to give them a break by breaking the power of the disease that's inside of them. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you to bring freedom from that disease, and instead of that disease, bring ease and bring the freedom of healing into his life and into her life. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to solidify it and let it be a testimony that you have touched them and they are better by the power and authority that comes through Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
All right. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, man. Keep us posted how you're doing, okay?
All right. God bless.
You too, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Great. Great to have a call. Appreciate that very much. All right. So now the trivia question, because we got so much stuff to do, and I'm already going, this is probably a two-parter. Remember the sin of prayerlessness? That second part's coming up next week. So
it's about time for that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Well, you know,
one of my favorites.
You gotta, and then this one. And so I'm just saying. Just make this. Hezekiah is he mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11? By name, okay. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just gonna leave it right there. See if you can get that. If you do have that, you gotta have an address. Okay. All right. Let's get into this. Listen. I tell you the same thing all the time. You don't have to agree with everything I'm saying. But anything that the Lord uses that can help you grow towards the Lord, that helps you stronger, get stronger, one step closer kind of thing, that's what you hang on to. That's what you utilize, okay? So let's just talk about demons, and some of this will be a little goofy, okay? Somebody is calling in, so we do want to give them a chance to answer a trivia question. And we're going to do as much as we can on this. And by the way, if we need to go into a part two, we will. I mean, that's what we do. But we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question, so let's start there. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
My brother, David. This is your brother, Ace.
Hey, brother Ace. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing good. I'm pulling into Denny's for one well-done steam cake.
I need to be with brother Ace.
Yeah, you're going to Denny's for lunch, huh? Okay.
That's pretty good. One well-done pancake does me in, and one glass of ice water. So I get out with a dollar. So it's not a bad meal.
I remember the first time I went with my son when I had just gotten to that post 55 territory, and he looks and he goes, "Don't you get a discount?" You know, I'm like, be quiet. Nobody asked you, right?
Right. Yeah, I remember that. I forgot that. Yeah.
Now I love it.
Amen. Yeah, this business when you go through trials and tribulations and get to 50, 55, 60, it's a good thing you're still hanging on to faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, bro. Amen. All right, here you go. Triv question. True or false, Hezekiah specifically mentioned by name in the Hall of Fame of Faith?
Not that I read. I don't remember him being in there.
That is correct, Mundo. He's not in there. It's not that his acolytes could not be in there. He's just not mentioned by name, and that was the trivia question. And, of course, that's the classic, and I know so many pastors have done this. I'm not the only one, but you get up there and you say, everybody turn to the book of Hezekiah, and people are flipping through in the Old Testament, and you're just like going, okay, all right, people. All right, there is no book of Hezekiah. There's a king, not a book. Thanks. Okay. Excellent job, my brother. How are you feeling?
I feel good today. I feel good. I was let down by a couple of friends today, but, you know, that's the way life is sometimes. And they're not really spiritual brothers. They're just friends from my past history of entertaining. And they were going to come visit when I hadn't seen them in years. So. But anyway, that's not a big deal. No big deal. I have my best friend in heaven. I'd rather have him anyway.
Any time, anywhere, any place. I'd rather have the best than not the best. Absolutely, 100%.
Amen. I hope you guys are all right. Seems like the program's growing, and that's good. And I pray that you find big favor in the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and our Father Yahweh.
In Jesus' name. Yes, I accept that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I receive that. Amen, brother. I appreciate that, and I need that. You know I do. So.
I do. Yeah, I do know you need it. And, anyway, thank y'all for being there. I'm always listening. I always enjoy
getting glimpses.
That's some nuggets from your ministry, so it's good.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You're blessing, bro. Appreciate you.
You too. God bless you.
Bye bye. All right.
We always love Brother Ace. God bless you, brother.
It's great. It's great that Tim called. I mean, this is just what we do. That's it. All right. So I am going to still start this. You're going to start? Yes, I am. you should know. All right. Is that phone off, or I just want to double check that? I always have to tell, do you watch that light? I see I have a light here. Oh, don't ask. All right. Here we go. All right. So let's just talk about, I'm just going to state them. I'm not going to read in depth, but I'm going to state them, and I know you guys know this, but there are three major ways that demons affect people, okay? So the reason that I haven't specified that to Christians yet is they affect all people to a certain degree, and what we're going to really get into is the most important part of it, and I think most people are just waiting to hear and just waiting to hear, and it's like, okay, just relax. First and foremost, and number one, demons, Satan, his brood, his group, his followers, the dark angels, all those things are definitively some part of the process in temptations. Now, we know that because their king, not ours, is a key tempter. In fact, having that name as well, most people can identify that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, dropping those temptations against Jesus, or trying to drop those temptations against Jesus. And 1 Chronicles 12:21 says, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census. Temptation is a definite issue, isn't it? Who's going to argue that? You going to argue that point? What would you argue that point? No, of course not. That's part of what they darkness does. Darkness, what do they do? It's an enticement. It's a temptation. Now, the temptation itself is not a sin. This is where a lot of Christians kind of fall off the wagon. And I will say, and Oral Roberts said it, but he's really not the first person to say it, so let's at least be honest about it. It says it's like temptation or like birds flying around above your head. They'll fly around above your head. You can't stop that, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. And what that means is that temptation that's up there, it's there, but it's not the sin itself, right? Being tempted is not a sin, okay? I mean, that would be absolutely theological crucial to understand. But that's a big part of it. But that's not the only part of it. And I want you to understand that it's not the only part of it. And you think, well, you know, what other parts of are involved in this? And what else are we talking about? Well, it's not just temptation, but it's also opposition. So I want you to make sure, because we're gonna define. So temptation is that enticement, right? Well, what's opposition? What do you mean? Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 through 15, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in essence, it's in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Revelation was given to Daniel. The message was true concerning the great war and understanding the message that was to come to him. And so this is important to understand, because I don't want you to miss that it says what it says in verse 12. This is the angel responding to Daniel. Don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persian kingdoms resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there from the king of Persia. So what you're getting already is, well, there's this weird opposition-y thing. What is that all about? I mean, that's kind of bizarre. And is that only there? Okay, that's cute. So watch this. Acts chapter 3. People are like, that's only in Daniel. Acts chapter 13, verse 6 through. You know, you ask those questions, you just got to deal with it. They traveled the whole island until they came to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was attendant of the proconsul of Sergius Paulus. Proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them. Did you see that? It's oppose them. So opposition. So you need to understand, and I need to understand, it's very, very important. You've got to get this, that demons and evil and Satan, and I mean evil as an evil personified, not but the world that defines evil, because they wouldn't know the difference between God in a paper bag or the devil in a paper bag. So let's be honest about it. Temptation is something that is an enticement. Opposition is that warfare or that pushback that you get being a Christian. So watch this. Temptation, enticement. Opposition, pushback. The last one is the one y'all want to, well, that's the one I want to know. Demonization. So when we come back, we'll talk about what demonization is and isn't, and how does that impact believers? That's the question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Teaching time. I don't know how we're going to do the breaks, Gabriel, so just look at me. I'll let you know. I mean, this is the best I can tell you, because I'm going to teach you something that I hope I there's no way I can teach this. I can't teach the worth. I can't teach the value, but I'm going to do my best to share with you my heart in this process. As American people, as people who live in America, we have been granted the right to pursue happiness. And I want to make sure you understand what this means. We have a preamble to the United States Declaration of Independence, and the preamble to the Declaration says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, I do want to point out it does not say life, liberty, and the provisions of or for happiness. In other words, the rights that we have in the preamble is that we get to pursue happiness, not that it's provided for us by the government. So that's kind of an important point for people to recognize. It would be nice if they quit trying to quote our founding fathers and then say they're entitled to something because of that provision, because it never says that.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to give you a triv question. Shouldn't be overly complex, but it doesn't mean it'd be easy either. All right, here we go. All right, now think about how I'm asking the question. Your answer is in the book of James. What relationship with the world would make you an enemy of God? What relationship with the world would make you an enemy of God, according to James? Give you that opportunity if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now we're going to get into some serious territory. You are being warned. I am warning you. If your kids are involved, you need to be aware of that. I'm trying to tell you for a reason. Here we go. So we're discussing how demons can affect. Demons can affect by tempting people. Demons can affect by opposing people. And demons can affect by, ready? Demonization. You're like, what? Wait, what? Let me help you out. There is no actual Greek word for the word possession. That's what my translation says. I know. I'm not trying to argue with you. But the word means demonized. And that means extreme control and influence to an action. They're the kind of the same Greek word covers all of the territory. It's the only question that's involved is to what degree can a person be demonized? So we're going to talk about that and then kind of break it down. Demonization can affect at, ready? I mean, I hope you're ready. Don't get upset with me. At the physical level. That's how much it can be involved. Matthew 9:32, while they were going out, a man was demon-possessed and could not talk, and he was brought to Jesus. What does that mean, he was demon-possessed? It means he was demonized, and he could not, to such an effect, he could not speak. That's a physical attribute. In Matthew 12:22, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. We just taught about that yesterday. And so then there's another portion in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. You got this young kid, and the kid's throwing himself into the water and throwing himself into the fire.
And Jesus said, how long has it been this way? Since he's been a boy. And Jesus cast out the spirit. The spirit was creating this problem. How about the woman in Luke chapter 18? Who she's bent over and she's got this spirit. And it's like, should we not cast the spirit out of this woman and give her relief? There's a physical component to demons affecting or demonizing people. To say otherwise is just to lie. I mean, it doesn't just stop there, and that's why I want you to get this. Demonization can also affect the mental capacity. Well, what do you mean? 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit of God gives us, the power of God is upon us, and he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. For you to be afraid, it could be a spirit of fear. Guess what that affects? It doesn't affect your physical body. It affects your mind. How about this? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Why do you got to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ? Because some of those thoughts that are dropped into your head are not godly. They're not even fleshly. They're demonic. And you got to go, nope, nope, nope. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says, and in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. These are all things that happen between your left and right ear. I mean, it's just no way around that. And here's what I want you to catch. This is the big part, and this is like, well, okay, we're getting to the big part right here. So to be demonized, the Greek word is dahi mon idzamahi. That's such a big word, right? You really just want it to be a simple word. That's not. Sorry. It means to be influenced, afflicted, or tormented in some way by a demonic power. When exercise takes place, that's the X means out, and the rest of the word means to bind by an oath. So in essence, to expel or drive off. The working definition, to be released or given freedom from an influence, an affliction, or a tormenting of a demonic power. Exorcism is being freed. Oh, you're going to hate this. Exorcism is being freed from the influence, the affliction, or the tormenting of a demonic spirit. That's what exorcism is. The demonization is when it has influence, it's afflicting and it's tormenting. So the exorcism is the relief from the demonization. You understand? So the big question is, can a Christian be demonized? That's the question. In the context of a demon owning and having complete control of a Christian, no way. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. That's not going to happen. But in the context of influencing you or afflicting you or challenging you, of course. But then you know what people are going to say. Oh, Holy Spirit can't be in the same room as evil spirits, right? Wrong. Okay. First, angels and demons fight. If they can't fight, how can they not be in the same room? I'm just asking, what do they do? What do they go? Scrabble. I've got more word letters than you. Or squirt gun. I got you. That's not how that goes. And the other part about that is Satan got thrown out of heaven. If you can't have evil and good in the same room, how'd that happen? Wait a minute. How did Satan get into heaven in the first place if that can't happen? Okay, that's just ridiculous. How does the Holy Spirit fall upon somebody who's full of sin like Caiaphas and prophesies in the name of the Lord even though he doesn't do it because the guy's full of sin? It's like ridiculous. That's just silly. Can a demon fully control you as a Christian? No. Can it affect you? Oh, sure. Can temptation affect you? Can trials? I mean, can all that affect? Of course. To what level? That depends on what level we allow, isn't it? I mean, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Jesus is in your heart by faith. I don't know. How much room do we give to the enemy? That's the question. So can you be possessed as we think of that term? As you think of the movies? No. Can you be influenced? Yes. Can you be free from that influence? Yes. But not if you don't know. It's more amazing to find out that some people's besetting sins are more connected to demonic influence than anything. Sometimes, you know, that thing you struggle with, it's not just you're just really rotten in that one area.
Sometimes there's just a spirit that just keeps dropping it on your head. Bam, 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 bam.
Dave, can we do this one without any commercials? Wow. This is so good, Dave. Let me say, you said influence, inflicted, and tormented?
Yes.
Wow.
And so that's being demonized. And then being exercised is the freedom from influence, affliction, and tormenting. See, this is why it's so. And what happens is every time we read, we think of these really, like, I'm just being honest. We think of these super complex things. Well, it's funny because Jesus rebuked the fever that was in Peter's mother-in-law. And yes, he was married, because you can't have a mother-in-law unless you're married. And don't tell me it doesn't say that in Greek. Of course it does. It's just absurd. But that's not the point. The point is this. It's not likely that rebuke was just for a headache or a fever. But okay, even if you can grant that, here's what you could still acknowledge. Demons go after Christians because that's their existence. They exist for that. And the question is, what are we supposed to do? Take up the armor, stand in our faith. We already know that our power, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't even have to wonder that. But most people don't recognize those influences are happening. So they don't use the weaponry that's given to them by the Lord. It's almost as though the Lord gives you, and I'll say it really nice because I don't want to promote this, but just be quiet and listen. It's like he gives you a gun and he gives you 6 bullets and you take 3 bullets and pull them out and put 3 in the gun and go, I'm ready. It's like, what? Why would you do that? It's like, that doesn't make sense. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. I know. All right. So, by the way, we did have the I should do this before we exit. The relationship in the world that would make you an enemy of God is friendship with the world. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Remember that too. That's good. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Oh, no, it's not on his tail. It's on his face. I've ruined it. Oh, no. Well, that's okay, though. Somebody else will come along and get it right.
Thanks for coming to my birthday party, Stewie.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it for anything. I've never been to a party before.
Want to watch me blow out the candles?
I would love to see that. And gosh, Bobby, I'd love to play with some of your birthday toys, but only after you've played with them and only if you say it's okay.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where you could not have set up a better trivia question if I tried. And I just can't do it. Could never do it on my own. Here's your trivia question. Because we're talking about demons and influence. Ready? Here's the question. What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Okay, there you go. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, as we often do. Please check out the different things that are on the website. Very, very, very important for you to do that, because there's different things, new things all the time, including brochures that you can get for free and different stuff like that, plus the praise report and the prayer request form. You fill that out. Nothing required of it. We would be glad to minister, do our best to serve you. Don't forget about giving and partnering with the ministry. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay? I want you to take care of your home base, but if the Lord puts it on your heart and you want to give, please do so. We would greatly appreciate it, and it will help us further the ministry. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
I'm going to buy one of those.
Sounds like a little fight in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, it kind of does it? It's probably what's going on right in front of us. We don't even know. I've always maintained this, by the way. People can disagree, but I've always been. If the Lord, for like 1 minute, 60 seconds, just 60 seconds, pulled the blinders off of every one of us so that we can see all the angels and all the demons that are on the earth, two things would happen. One, we would all be freaked out, and two, we would either all die from heart attacks or we'd all explode.
I actually agree with that, Dave. I agree with that.
It's like you saw everything that was going on, you'd be like, hey, what's that big dark thing over there, over that state capitol thing over there? You'd be like, what? I mean, you got to be kidding, right? Okay. Anyhow, how do we know that's true? Because Elijah did that for Gehazi, and just like he was like, ooh. Oh, I see all the chariots. Yeah. See, Lord, open his eyes. Oh. Everybody knows that's true. You just don't want to think about it because it's like, ooh, that's scary. All right, we'll do our history later on. We do have somebody calling in on the trivia question, and it's important to recognize this. This trivia question is well-placed because it really does help you understand that going through spiritual warfare has an impact, but it doesn't have the same eternal impact that maybe your mind thinks of it. So let's have the person come through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dave. This is Gary in Corsicana. I was hoping to answer your...
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. All right, here we go. Ready? I'm going to set you up, and then you give us the answer. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus?
I'm going to say nothing, but there is...
That is correct, though! There is nothing! Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do dumb things, and it doesn't mean you won't disappoint the Lord, but nothing can separate you from the love that God has for you in Christ. Nothing. Zero. Zippity-doo-dah. Right. That's it.
Excellent job, bro. Excellent.
He loves us irregardless. But,
yes.
And he also loves us before we're born again, but I would say not being born again would.
Well, I think he loves them, but that they separate themselves before they have that opportunity, people that make that decision. But the idea that so here's the thing. God knew every mistake you have made, are making, and will yet make. But he still chose you. He still said mine. So that's cool.
Right.
Excellent job, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm in a Pentecostal church, and I've been born again, and I've been filled with the Spirit, and I sit down with my brothers at Bible study, and I feel like I'm Baptist-costal.
I love it.
I don't find in Scripture where it says once saved, always saved, yet I believe in the security of the believer.
Yeah, right,
so
exactly.
I believe that we're eternally saved when we're born again.
Right, so you're Baptist-costal, I got to share something with you. The majority of Baptists and Pentecostals, the majority of those people are Baptist-costal. way bigger than that. Way bigger than that's what the statement is. Uh-huh. I go to church here, but you know, I've had the Lord do this. Exactly.
I believe you were saying one time, and I really was ministered to that. You were saying that you may be in a church, but it's just like families. There's no perfect church, and you're not there to try to change their doctrine, and there's nothing wrong with them saying things you don't believe in, but as long as you're there to love the people, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you're there to participate, to be a blessing, to be blessed. I mean, it's all that process. If you're thinking you're there to agree with everything that's heard, you're not agreeing with yourself 20 years ago. Why are you thinking that your church is going to –
people's ideas.
That doesn't make any sense.
The Bible doesn't change, but people's ideas.
Good job, bro.
Yeah.
Good work.
Thank you. I was listening the other day, and you mentioned Gary and Sheila. I didn't know if that was me and my wife or not, but I had shared with you previously about my wife's experiences being on a ventilator, and she's on oxygen 24/7. I didn't know if that was my wife or someone else you were talking about.
It was
about
actually
yesterday or the day before.
It was actually somebody else, but I do remember. Yep. So it's like it's just how the Lord works, right? That's amazing.
Yeah. But I told my wife anyway. I said they was talking about you today.
I'll be praying for you guys regardless. You can count on
that. Yeah, she liked that.
All right.
So, I appreciate you, brother. I love you. I'll be driving home from work at the moment, so I'll get off and let you continue your show, sir, and enjoy it always. Thank you.
God bless you.
Love you. Love you.
Love you too, bro. Bye-bye. All right. See, I love that. There's the biggest thing you got to remember. Well, I just got to say this. If you find the perfect church, don't join it. You just ruined it. Just saying.
That's a pretty good one, Dave.
Yeah, that's a good one. Come on, that's hilarious. All right, let's get back to this. I want to reiterate, and then I got to hit to this one thing. So there's this really important. So we covered a lot of territory there, but I don't want you to miss this. So demonic engagement really has to do with demonization. And you just got to be – and I'm not saying this to insult anybody. You just got to pull it back and go, look, there are certain levels of demonization, certain levels that will never take place for a Christian. But understanding the word demonization to be the influence, the torment, or even the affliction by some demon is entirely different than thinking of you know, the Exorcist movie and stuff like that. So you got to pull out of that, because that's not even what's – and actually the church did respond to that, which is kind of weird. And it's like, pull back from that. Don't let the world define any of that. Let the Lord define that. Let the Word of God define it. That's your definition. That's your rule of faith. It's the Word of God. So to the extent that Christians can be influenced or afflicted by demons or challenged or opposed or tempted, of course there's some form of demonization taking place, but they don't have the victory over you and I, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. The Lord never, never, never will let you fail. He will purify you. He will try you. He will expose things in you to you that you need to work on. It's not so that the enemy can get a victory. It's so that you can grow up in him. But the purpose of all of this is so that you can reflect Jesus more and more and stand stronger in those formats. And so I want you to understand you can't, the demon can't completely control a Christian. Can a demon completely control a non-Christian? Apparently so. I mean, that's the one thing you would say. That the guy who had Legion certainly seemed like he was under full control. Then once the spirits were cast out, what did he become? An evangelist. So that just shows you what happens, right? Go tell everybody. Okay. And then he told people, and people were like, whoa, right? That's cool, right? Totally cool. So get out of that, you know, and we did address this last week because Robert of Rosalind and Robert asked the question about evil and good in the same realm. And you have to understand that God does not dwell in evil in the sense that he abides there or lives in it. So it doesn't mean that's never present or that Satan can never make an accusation to God about us. That doesn't, none of that makes sense. But what I want you to get, and this is probably one of the biggest points, and you just can't miss this, is understanding what gives demons access to Christians. Because you're thinking, well, they don't have the same level of access as a non-believer. You're right. You want to know why that is? I mean, there's a reason for that. There's reasonings behind this. There's logic. There's process. The reasonings behind that is because you, as a child of the Most High God, born-again, Bible-believing, born-again Christian, are in a position where sin doesn't own you. Sin owns a non-Christian. Sin doesn't own a Christian. And so when you talk about that in those ways, what do we mean? You know I'm going for this. John 4:4, right? We already said about dear children, you know, dear children, you're from God and have overcome them because greater is in you than he that is in the world. But you need to catch this one other part that Jesus said about sin. And he talks about the enemy. He talks about the enemy attaching or trying to attach itself to him. And Jesus says, no, he has nothing in me. I don't want you to listen to this, okay? I'm going to give you, I hope this teaching really, gosh, I hope this sinks in, okay? In John 14:30, Jesus said the prince of this world is coming. And he says this, listen to this. He has nothing in me. Not he has nothing on me. He has nothing in me. And what does that mean? That means there's no entry point in Jesus of sin for Satan to take advantage. Sorry, that's just, it's not even this complex. Like, well, theologically, be quiet. It's an opening in our lives when we sin. And Satan, it's like blood in the water. It's like a shark sensing the blood. Right? That's what sin is like. That's probably a pretty good example. And Jesus is like, he's got nothing in me. There's no point of contact that Satan has against me. But in us, there's no point of contact that Satan owns in us. But it doesn't mean that we don't open those points of contact by sinning. Sin is an open door. Just listen, it will not send you, if you're struggling with sin, it's a besetting sin, if you're, there's a demonic influence you don't even know about, or you're going through the up and down, you're fighting it, okay? I'm serious. That's not going to separate, what will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. What will it do? It will afflict you. It will limit you. Why? Because then you're struggling in this arena of sin. Well, a believer has the authority, because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, not to have to give into sin. But many people who are Christians do, and that creates the conflict. You getting this? You get this, like, whoa, this is like, wait, this is all like, yeah, and here's what's important about this, okay? I don't know. Can we skip the thing? I don't know. Can we do it? Like, are you able to, won't mess you up or anything like that? Here's the thing I want you to catch. Remember Saul, King Saul,
This is just listen to, it's not even super deep theology. Just remember King Saul. Remember how there was a tormenting spirit that was sent to him by the Lord. Remember, Saul kind of like used to think small about himself, and then he started to get, you know, prideful, even to the point of understanding, that Saul didn't even want to be embarrassed when he sinned. He's like, oh, well, at least tell everybody you think I'm still a great guy, is what he said to Samuel when he had sinned, whereas David just said, oh, I blew it. I'm wrong. That's bad. But Saul wanted to cover his tracks. That sin gave room for that spirit to take advantage. And King Saul respond to David? He threw a spear at him. Like, you can't, that's not, what is that? That's not the Spirit of God, right? So when you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, what do we know pleases the Lord? Can I just ask this question? It's faith that pleases, and that faith is our victory. That faith is, so Jeff Dixon made a great thing. So faith helps us overcome the world. And faith helps us walk on top so that we don't have to have those openings. And don't get the wrong impression. Anytime you have sin in your life, Satan is trespassing. That sin doesn't own you. You don't own that sin anything. I just want to point this out so that nobody misses it. In Romans chapter 6, it says very clearly, our position, in Romans 6, is our position is we are not a debtor to sin. You don't owe sin anything. But when we give in to sin, we're opening a door. It's like, don't. Okay, here's a nice way to say it. Don't. Don't. And then it's like, well, then there could be some demonization. But to what level? I don't know. I guess it depends on the sin or whatever. Here's the deal. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And your ability to operate in faith conquers these things. Because the blood of Jesus made it judicially so. But if you're continuing in sin or struggling with sin, it's a door the enemy's going to try and take advantage of. Because... just like, I love that example, just like a shark and blood in the water, if you sin, the enemy knows, because that's his home territory. Got it? He is the father of all of it, right? All right. Somebody wants to share something in the send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Vincent Mann's younger brother, Rob, again.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So... can you speak to this on this point about the portal thing, right? So this God's character, right? God's a judge, and he has a perfect character. And Satan is, among many things, is named the great accuser.
Correct.
So I've heard the analogy that it's kind of like a courtroom where Satan, as an attorney, comes in and accuses.
Correct.
But because God is perfect in judgment, if we have sinned, or whether it's a non-believer, opened a portal like a Ouija board or something like that, Satan has the leverage to actually say, well, wait a minute. They did this. They opened this door. I have every right to walk through the door. And because God is a pure judge, he has to allow that effect to happen. Is that a fair positioning?
Yeah, but it's fair, but only to a degree. In other words, In the case of the Christian, this would be the judge's response. Well, he is open the door, but there is double jeopardy. So double jeopardy, right? Would be like, okay, he's already been killed because he's crucified with Christ. And so there's this. So when you get into the judicial, you brought up an excellent point. I just want to point that out to you, that it's a great point of discussion, because it's like that it does open the door and we do create things. But for the Christian, there's a advocate. Well, what's an advocate? A defense attorney.
Right.
And that's for the Christian. But that's not true for everybody. That's true for the Christian.
Yeah.
So there's a defense attorney while that accusation is going on. But it is a portal. It is an open touch. And Jesus had none of it. That's why his death was so inappropriate, because he did nothing wrong. And then when we do it, it's still limited, because the Holy Spirit still exists in people. And it's like, so there's limited compared to a non-believer, but it's still problematic. Does that make sense?
That's cool. Yeah. No, you're the man. Okay, great. Thank you.
God bless.
All right, so this is a great question. And these are the things that listen, you don't have to agree with every nuance, but you have to acknowledge when you sin, it just creates such problems. I mean, it's just like, you can't tell me it doesn't. That's why the Bible says, pray for one another, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Does that mean that the person that has faults or sins and they confess to other people and it gets prayed for? No, there's healing that needs to take place. Does that mean that sin will separate you from God for eternity? No, but will it impact your walk right now? Of course. That's why we pray for healing. Why? Because we cut ourselves open. Like, why would we do that? Well, most of the time we do that because we're stupid. But the real reason is because we're not standing either in our faith, in our authority, in our position, many of those things. And before anybody gets on the high horse, I don't know any Christian that doesn't struggle to some degree. There's some demonization going on for a lot of people. People are like, well, no, I mean, Paul never had demonization. Well, even he confessed to fears. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. He went through this. He went through, wasn't to the same level. And by the way, Paul had a specific spirit that was tormenting him that God asked to take away. And I know all the interpreters are quite simply, that's not really an evil spirit. That was just his bad eye. And because he said, if you had your eyes, you'd give them to me. Well, that if you had your eyes, you'd give them to me was not an uncommon phrase in Jewish poetry. But the scripture does say specifically that it was a spirit sent to buffet Paul. So, just so he wouldn't get what? Prideful. It's like, oh gosh. Hey, maybe this opens up a few doors for people to go, okay, maybe it's a little more warfare than we thought. And this is never to put you in fear, but it is to make you aware. The power of Jesus Christ prevails. But if you don't use it, it's not prevailing in all the areas that it's available for. How about that?
Yeah.
It's just like, we have the mind of Christ. Now, wouldn't it be swell if we used it? Okay, great. Yes, that's one of my faves. Okay, but there's so much here. Can't cover anymore because we're out of time. Hope this works for you. Don't be afraid. Be firm in your faith. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Going to be taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.